Thunder Rider rides again. The masked avenger, the seeker of justice, the writer of wrongs, roared into the small town. Villainy trembled beneath his iron heel, and those with much to fear fled in abject terror at his approach. There was much wrong with this town. For too long, the forces of lawlessness had held sway over the land, allowing evil to flourish. He could see it in the faces of those he passed as they leveled their weapons, turning with the following wind of his trusty machine. One powerful hand dove to the battered leather holster, inherited from those who had rode this path before, and freed the .44 Magnum he used for maximum effect. It wasn't just the damage inflicted by the bullets. It was the mighty roar of the weapon that struck fear into the hearts of those who dared oppose him. He saw the first of the cold-hearted villains standing before him, defiant, aiming a long-barreled rifle in his direction. Thunder Rider was ready, the .44 held tight by the whipcord tendons of his wrist. Thunder Rider's lips parted in a tight smile of satisfaction. One down, but many more to go. Easing on the throttle, he headed for the center of the town. From his recon, he knew that this was where the young women were being held hostage. It was his task to free them from their bondage. They were being kept captive in a large building guarded by 7 heavily armed men. Although Thunder Rider had announced his arrival in no uncertain terms, he knew that the villains of this town had nothing as fast as his iron steed, nothing in their transport to match his speed and power, the sheer destructive force of his MP-15 assault rifle on his bike. The building where the women were being held was in his sights. 7 men approached him. They made it too easy. Clustered together, they presented an easy target. Without slowing, and without veering 1 degree from the course he had set himself, he raised the MP-15 and loosed the last of the grenades at the group of villains. Two of the men vanished as though they had never existed. The other 5 were wounded. The only difference, the amount of time it took them to die.
Ladies, you can come out now. You're free.
The ladies emerged slowly, like small mammals blinking in the sunlight, staring at him with uncomprehending eyes.
Your captivity is at an end. You may go where you wish, do as you wish. None shall hold you prisoner from this day forth, or they shall feel the wrath of Thunder Rider.
Crisply, after the briefest of bows, he turned on his heel and strode out of the building into the wan sunlight. He mounted his iron steed, looking around at the peace that now reigned, and nodded to himself. It was good. He rode off into the distance, another wrong righted, another step toward justice. It was a day like any other day, but not for long. The Ville of Casabeltaca was clustered around the remnants of a mall left from the days of Predark. It was named after the Gaudy House, which had been housed in the remnants of an old fast food restaurant, and had grown over the years to cement its reputation as the finest Gaudy in New Mex. Trade convoys and parties of marauding coldhearts would make special journeys to drink the psychotropic brew that was the house specialty, and to watch the sluts perform in shows with each other and selected members of the audience, before offering services to the highest bidders. Not many men would bid for a Gaudy slut, but these were no ordinary girls. It was said that they could do things that most men could only dream were possible.
Hey, Gerald, you see that?
Yeah, weird.
Tell me about it. People just don't come in here all by themselves.
Yeah, well, maybe he's just one of those lonely losers who needs some alone time with one of our sluts.
Well, he better have a load of jack on him. It'd be a mistake to come in here without any.
He's coming in a little fast, isn't he?
Yeah. We'd best just stop him, see what's up.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I don't want him just rolling up willy-nilly. Hey, you! Stop! Gerald!
What the fuck?
The sec man watched as the man on the motorcycle careened through the ville, firing indiscriminately at anybody that moved. The citizens all ran for their lives, trying
trying to get away from this madman. The sec force that manned the Gaudi rushed out to see what all the ruckus was, all arriving at the front of the building at the same time.
Ah, shit!
You don't want him to hear you.
But
nothing. You don't know what this guy might do if he finds you, so shut the hell up.
Ladies, you can come out now. You're free.
What?
We're free? What's he talking about?
Some of the other Gaudi sluts walked out into the open with looks of incredulity.
Your captivity is at an end. You may go where you wish. Do as you wish. None shall hold you prisoner from this day forth, or they shall feel the wrath of Thunder Rider.
What the fuck? Who the hell does he think he is, blasting our livelihood to shit? You are free. Free from what? We got no jack. I got half a mind to storm out.
No, don't. He's obviously a stoop. He doesn't know what's what.
That doesn't mean he can just ride into town and fuck everything up. Oh, well, that's just great. Ride off into the sunset, why don't you? Never mind, you've just left us fucked. Why don't you just slit our fucking throats and be done with it, fucking dick chump?
Ashley!
Whatever. Let's see if he's left anybody behind.
And as one of them walked to the door and watched the cloud of dust recede into the distance, she couldn't know that they were just the first call of the day for the man who called himself Thunder Rider.
Phew! Get hot. Boring. Need some action.
Jack swatted at the flies buzzing around him. The other hand held tightly to the reins. Doc, lying propped against a rough Hessian sack near the rear of the wag, looked up.
My dear boy, I should have thought that we'd all have had more than enough action to last us a lifetime. Speaking for myself, I would welcome this respite from a life of constant peril. Action, in my humble view, is much overrated. Oh, for the balmy days when I could relax beneath the New England skies with a slim volume of poetry.
Enough of that fancy talk. Fulfilling you crazy, it is.
There are times, lad, I fear that I would agree with you.
Ryan was keeping watch out the back of the wag. It was hard enough to concentrate in the heat without the added irritation of Jack and Doc. The wasteland vistas were endless, partly an illusion fostered by the heat haze and the stretches of scrub and desert dotted only with a few mutated cacti. They had been driving for days. It was as necessary to ration water to the horses as it was to ration the water for themselves. There was no other way they could make the distance. Paradoxically, in doing this, they had made their progress interminably slow. It was the lesser of evils, but still made days beneath the canvas cover of the bone-jarring wag hot, boring, and seeming to stretch across time. There was a word for what the one-eyed man was feeling. Ennui. Ryan Carter wouldn't have recognized the word, but Christy Roth might have. She lay propped against him, idly stroking his leg, lost in her own thoughts. They had been heading in a southwesterly direction for 4 days. It seemed a lot longer. 4 days ago, they had been riding sack for a Vilbaron who had hired them to help his men shift a herd of cattle across the plains. Ryan saw it as a stupid move. The cattle were the only asset the Vil had. The Baron was taking a hell of a chance using outsiders to augment his inept sack men, and there were coldhearts in every pass who could take the cattle for themselves. But the companions could use the jack, and more importantly, the wagon supplies. Since they were coming off yet another arduous trek, the latter was more than enough of an enticement. The journey had actually been even shorter, swifter, and bloodier than Ryan had expected. 2 days into their journey, they approached a mountain pass. To skirt around the pass in safety would have added a couple of days to the journey. Ryan had tried to argue for it, but had been shouted down by the Baron's sec chief, already sore over the fact that outsiders had been brought in. So, they rode straight into an ambush. The sec chief was taken completely by surprise. Ryan and his people were ready. The result was a bloody firefight in which the Vil sec men were quickly disposed of, the friends pinned down in the pass, and the cattle stampeded to a certain death. either under the hail of fire that crossed the narrow chasm, or by drought and starvation in the arid plains beyond. There were no winners here, only those who could survive. It had been a bitter combat. The ambush party, torn between chasing the cattle and finishing off the people in cover, chose the former, figuring that there were only a few left alive and they would be no threat. The ambush party didn't get a chance to regret their mistake. After Ryan and his companions got through with them, not a single one survived. Which left Ryan with no good choices to make. The Sekhmen were dead, the cattle were gone, the ambushers were rotting in the sun. Apart from all the corpses strewn around, there was nothing to back up Ryan's version of events. They figured there was no use trying to explain what had happened. In the Deathlands, shoot the messenger was a national pastime. The wag was still whole, the horses had remained calm, and most of the supplies were still intact. So they had set off, not having any clear idea of where to go, other than to avoid the vill from which they had come, and the one to which they had been headed. JB had used his mini-sextant to determine their position, and the most expedient course had been to head toward the Grand Canyon and the nearest redoubt. It was territory that they knew, and although it harbored bad memories, which could have been said for most of the Deathlands, it was not a place where a welcome involving heavy firepower would await them if they returned. 4 days. The sky was clear of the taint of chem clouds, which meant that they could avoid the awful acid rains, but it meant that there was no cover for the oppressive heat of the sun. The canvas covering the wag was thick, but even that smelled at times as though it were beginning to smolder under the constant rays.
Huh.
What, Jack?
Something out there. Weird shit.
What kind of weird shit?
Ryan didn't need to give the order. Christy, JB, and Mildred shifted their positions and began to check their weapons, knowing they were primed and ready, but knowing the value of always making sure. Even Doc moved from his uncomfortable perch, the ancient but deadly Lama coming easily to his hand.
It's still way off. It's coming from over there.
Jack pointed toward the sound. A cloud of dust and dirt rose toward the sky, a solitary blemish on the clear blue. It grew like a smokestack, spreading out to form a trail. It was apparent that the vehicle was moving at a right angle to them. It was approaching, but not directly, which suggested that whoever was heading this way was not necessarily hostile. The covered wag was an easy target, moving or still. That wasn't a consideration. What did concern Ryan, concerned all of them, was their own effectiveness in a moving, as opposed to still, vehicle. Particularly one that was made up of little more than wood or canvas.
Jack, stop and unhitch the horses. Everybody, we're going to use the wag as cover. Get your equipment and take positions. Better safe than sorry.
They worked without words, knowing that time was of the essence, for the wag on the horizon was getting closer with every second. As the horses wandered off and they took up their positions, JB squinted through his spectacles at the approaching vehicle. It struck him that it was making one hell of a noise for something that seemed so small. It wasn't a tricked-out war wag, neither was it the kind of old pre-dark truck that was still used for transporting goods within a short distance.
What is that thing? I haven't seen anything go like that since NASCAR.
What?
Long, long time ago, John. Way before your time.
Heads up, people. He's closing way too quick for my liking.
Another successful day for Thunder Rider. A one-man crusade against the forces of darkness was never going to be an easy task, but progress was being made. More towns had been cleaned up. More scum had felt the scything sword of justice within the time between sunup and sundown. Now to return to the secret base, where he could rest and recuperate in peace and security before venturing forth once more. Of course, he knew there would come a time when he would have to venture so far afield that it would be impossible for him to return home with the sun. Then he would have to establish mobile bases that would serve as a secure haven while he rested. Perhaps in time he would be able to recruit others to his cause. There were good people out there, tired of being under the oppressive heel of the scum, who would join with him once they had a figurehead, once they knew they were not alone. He knew there were others from the communications that had been monitored at base since before he was fully trained. It was only a matter of finding them. Though the dust streamed behind him, he had a clear view from all other angles. As darkness fell in such a barren environment, there was likely to be danger all around. Such as over to his right and ahead of him. It was nothing more than a dot on the horizon to begin with,
But as he approached, he could see that it was a horse-drawn wagon with a small, hunched-over man driving it. It was covered, and he could not see within, but it was unlikely to be harboring danger. Those who would oppose him were not the sort to be driving a humble horse-drawn wagon, after all. Nonetheless, he took one hand from the bar of the bike and flexed his fingers. He could find the 44 in a fraction of a second, if necessary. Perhaps it would be. He furrowed his brow as he watched the wagon pull to a halt. The small man leapt nimbly down from the wagon and unhitched his horses, who wandered off. From each end of the wagon, men and women came forth. They were armed, he could see that, though not even his keen vision could make out their ordnance at such a distance. If he had worn the enhanced vision comp visor that was a part of the bike's setup, then he would not have this trouble. It was an oversight. He had been lax. That would not happen again. Meanwhile, he fixed his eyes on the wagon in the distance. The people were adopting defensive postures. They weren't looking for a fight, but were responding to his approach. They thought that he was one of the bad guys. He turned the bike toward them, slowing slightly. Raising one hand, palm up and out, he showed that he was unarmed. As he passed by them, he couldn't see them well enough to identify them should they ever cross paths again, but enough to know that his gesture had achieved its intended effect. The guns were not raised to him. Perhaps they would recognize him. Surely the news of Thunder Rider had already spread far and wide. He could imagine the look of delight on their faces when they realized who he was, or at least, that he was friend and not foe. Perhaps in time, they would join him. Riding his path, he opened up the throttle once more. The pulsing engine responded to his deft touch. He returned both hands to the bars and sped on once more for home.
He's coming right for us. Tell me I'm not imagining what I'm seeing.
Oh, no. Freak boys for real, John.
They could see that the vehicle was massively powerful. Wide and squat-bodied, it was obviously an engine-driven bike rather than a wag. Yet its bulk suggested that it should be a trike, which would also account for its stability. Yet astonishingly, as it turned side onto them, it became apparent that it was only dual-wheeled, the tires being of an immense width and thickness. And there was no trail of exhaust fumes to mingle with the dust in its wake. No smell of wag fuel that would have been so familiar and expected. The most bizarre thing of all was the way in which the rider on the bike waved to them. There was no other word for it. He took one hand off the bike steering and waved, as amicably as if he was an old friend, greeting them after a long absence. It was apparent that he was not going to attack them. As one, the companions lowered their weapons, watching in collective amazement as he turned away and roared off into the distance.
Phew. Keep a good back. Weird bastard.
Very succinctly put.
What was powering that thing?
I don't know. But if he's that friendly to any old stranger who passes, then he's headed for a whole lot of trouble.
Maybe not. Anyone with wheels like that is gonna have one bastard of an armory on board.
Yeah, well, there's too much weirdness there. Thank God he's headed in the opposite direction.
I agree with that.